Here's our hockey analyst, TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Ray, we just read Dregs. He just tweeted out that what he's hearing, what he's reporting, is that Tavares is now negotiating with the Islanders, and it feels like a deal could happen at any moment now. What do you make of that report?
I guess I'm a little surprised, I guess, because if you get this far, why wouldn't you poke around and see what's there? I don't have a handle on what possibly could be happening with the arena. I think it would bother me to the thought of having to bounce around for my home games. I think that would bother me, even though I'd be making 10 or 11 or $12 million, whatever he'd be making. That would be my hesitation. As far as the team itself, they've always looked like a team that was about to get better. Not always, but in the last few years, you think, oh, they could be better. If this player plays better, if that goalie plays better, they should be a playoff team or should be right around the playoffs. They fell apart last year. And so I don't mind it from a hockey perspective. I can't get away from the rink, though, for me. Like, how fast can you build a rink? You know, you're not building it in 18 months. You're not building it in 2 years. So
Ray, I played in Raleigh where we had to go to Greensboro for 2 years.
Oh, were you in that? Were you on that thing?
85 miles. I used to just get hotels because I didn't like to drive the morning of the game, so I just like to be in Greensboro. So if we played Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I would leave Sunday night for the Monday game, come home, and then leave Tuesday night again for the... It's just... And the worst thing was our practice rink. There wasn't even a rink in Raleigh. We had to drive halfway back to Greensboro for practice the next day. It was a sideshow.
What a circus.
I remember playing games in Greensboro, and there'd be like 11 people there.
Yeah, it was honestly 1,800 people. I remember. I think Ray, I was probably with you. We were the Islanders. Like,
yeah, they had to put tarps up on the upper row.
We were a big draw, eh, Noodles?
Yeah, exactly.
We weren't drawing them in.
Yeah. Me, Ray, and Noodles were such a draw for hockey.
1,800 people, luckily, friends and family night. It was, it was a bad setup. It was an awful setup.
So why is Tavares staying?
How do the Islanders sell this? You know, that it's such a large project, the one out in Belmont. Like, there's, to my knowledge, they're not even through all the approvals yet. And, yeah, you know, the last that I heard. And so until they get those, then once you get that, I think you're 2 years away.
Yeah,
doesn't that matter? Like, it kind of does to me.
It does, especially with how bad the ice is in Brooklyn. Like, all you hear is the guys complain about the ice and the building and sight lines and all sorts of things. But, you know, Brian brought up a great point, and I agree with him, too, is, you know, Tavares has to have been sold by Lou Lamoriello that the parity in the league of, hey, just take a look at what Vegas just did. Look at what I did in Toronto. We're not that far off here. If I get this coach, if I get this goaltender and acquire this guy in free agency, he may have opened up the books for Tavares and said, this is what I'm going to do. This is what you're going to be working with as far as a team. I know the building and all of the semantics of it. And Tavares may have said, you know what, maybe the grass isn't greener of the teams that have real interest in me. They may not be able to get as far as we think we could potentially if Lou had that good of a sales job.
Perhaps so. The Islanders, you know, the thought is that Lou is, you know, changes everything, the credibility, and Lou's not exactly been on a winning streak for a long time. Right? So, like, there's, you know, for years, jerseys, they drafted outstanding. Then their picking hand went cold. And it's not like, you know, like, they haven't, in Toronto, I mean, they got Austin Matthews, they got Mitch Marner. Lou had nothing to do with that. And now, you know, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is to think that it's a miracle just waiting because Lou walked in there, that would be a little... probably a little false to expect. There's a lot of hard work, and this sales pitch that every team is going to give their fans, I'm guessing 8 to 10 teams will use this before the draft. You know, Vegas did it. We can do it.
Absolutely.
And they're going to tell their fans that. And I think it's a crock.
It's a total crock.
Because, you know, like, come on. Like, it's a lightning strike is what it is.
Yeah, it is. Yep. It's lightning in a bottle that will not apply to the rest of the league. And the truth is only two teams can get to the cup final anyway. So if 10 teams are saying that they're going to get there, guess what? At least 8 of them are wrong. If maybe all 10 of them are wrong, because it could be two of the other 21 teams that end up getting there. So I just think there's something about the DNA of hockey players. They're loyal. They appreciate comfort, familiarity. These guys stick around. It's just, it's what they do. And I think partially also because of that sales pitch that it's a league of parity and there's turnover and things can happen. And once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. But if you compare and contrast the NHL with the NBA, which is their closest league in terms of comparatives, because they play at the same time of year, they play 82 games.
Right.
Free agency is somewhat similar. They have a soft cap. The NHL is a hard cap, but there are some similarities there. In the NBA, people are gearing up for LeBron James to leave again. The third time he would leave. Third time he'd be a free agent and say, I'm out of here. Yeah. Paul George is gone. Kawhi Leonard's going to probably demand out of San Antonio. Like, those are superstars. Superstars that move all the time. Yeah. And in the NHL, it just doesn't happen. And if Tavares signs and Carlson signs in Washington, guess what? James Van Riemsdyk is your number one.
It did before the salary cap. There was blockbuster deals, but everyone's so petrified now. They're like, I only got so many guys. I can't let one of my stars go. Do you not agree?
That's what I was thinking, too, right? Because if Tavares knows where the interest is, there's probably a team that he would like to circle, but the team can't go, all right, we can give you 7 years at $11 million. We just can't afford it, or we have young players in our pipe that we have to pay. Like, he probably wants a different situation, but the situation he wants or the team he wants may not be able to afford what he's looking for as far as term and money.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about there'll be areas that he would like to look at that just can't fit. You know, it just doesn't work, and that's, you know, that's part of the dark side of the cap or the tough side of it. I mean, you're talking in such tens of millions of dollars here that, you know, that everything has to be on the table. Like, you've got to consider just about everything you do. You know, you're making a commitment here. It's really I'll call it the end of your career. It might not be, but this is it. Like, there's nowhere to go from here.
No, right.
And so, like, are they going to play, like, next year? I think they're supposed to play a dozen or so games at Nassau Coliseum. Are they going to increase that number? Can they work with the league to try and play more games there while they're waiting for the arena to be built? Because I'm assuming that would be a selling point to Tavares, that he doesn't have to go into Brooklyn. They could play at the new old Nassau Coliseum, whatever that is, you know, whatever it looks like inside. From my understanding, they got to build locker rooms and things like they got to spend millions of dollars still to make it back into a hockey building for the games they're going to play. But I mean, that would, for me, would make it seem a little more sensible, that it would be a little more convenient than doing what they've done for the last couple of years. It's I was marginally surprised, I guess, when I read Dregs's tweets.
Yeah.
Just thinking that, man, he's this close. He's July 1st is going to be interesting, or that week before July 1st is really going to be interesting, just because of John. You know, now you did forget John Carlson would probably be the headliner.
He would be, but if he resigns in Washington, is what I said.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I missed that. Yeah, you're right.
Then all of a sudden it's Van Riemsdyk, and with all due respect to James Van Riemsdyk, if that's the number one guy, now he would love it because all the focus would be on him, and maybe the money would really come pouring in, but. Again, Darren Dreger, a Hockey Insider, tweeting out and reporting that John Tavares is now focusing on negotiations with the Islanders on an extension. He follows up by tweeting out that Lou Lamoriello has been speaking with Tavares on a constant basis, sharing his planned vision of the Islanders moving forward. So there you have it, which is what he had to do. I mean, this was the priority. You've got to keep Tavares. And as we said a couple of weeks ago when Lou took that gig, probably very uncomfortable for him because Tavares has 100% of the leverage. You've got to say whatever he wants to hear. You got to tell him whatever
Lou
he wants
generally
to hear.
Doesn't like doing that.
He doesn't like putting the player on the same pedestal as him. He doesn't want to treat you like an equal. He's never done that.
Lou's been sitting in a car in his driveway nightly, just
just staring at
just
him.
Staring into the house.
But you know what also surprises me, like over the history of the sport?
Every once in a while he gets out and sweeps the front of the driveway and then gets back in the car.
Just to let Tavares know he's still out there.
Still out here.
Blink the lights every once
Honk
in a while.
The horn.
But there hasn't been one superstar that I can think of that just decided, based on lifestyle, I'm out of here. Not winning and losing, not the rink, not the fans, just, you know what, I've always dreamt of playing in California. So I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Like, why has that never happened?
I don't know. Mo sent me a note, which is true. Suter and Parisi would be the last two.
Well, and that was a dream come true for them. Minnesota boys going
to
Suter.
Exactly. Going home. It's like Eric Lindros said, I'm not going to Quebec. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Tavares, like, the Islanders won the lottery and picked him. He didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
He just, this is where you have to play now. And now you have a choice. And listen, I'm not saying he doesn't love the Islanders or whatever. I mean, you guys played for the organization and living in New York, it's not like we're talking about living in a horrible, you know, place
around
the world.
It's not Magnitogorsk.
No, exactly. But just, and forget Tavares. I'm talking just in general. There's never been a player that's like, I'm out of here. Like, I appreciate everything you've done for me, but I want to leave.
Yeah. I want to go play somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I appreciate everything you've done for me. You know, like that never really kind of strikes a chord with me, because you drafted me, I play, you pay me. Like, what are you doing for me? Like, I'm in the league. If I'm not on your team, I'm going to be on somebody else's team. Like, it's not like they dragged you in from somewhere that you've never played and they gave you this opportunity and you should feel indebted forever. It's just business. It's just, this is where you're drafted, this is where you play. And we should say, for people that might think that, no, you know, what's he doing? He's crazy to think about this. There has never once been anybody say anything that I've heard negative about John Tavares, about the way, about the person he is, the way he goes about his business, the way that he is, you know, given everything he can give there. Now, if he chooses to stay, good for him. I think I would be a little more concerned about the arena, but maybe I don't have the full story. But this is not, you know, they're not in the new rink in a year. They're not in it in 2 years. So it's, you know, it's a significant leap of faith here.
In terms of the other free agents that are out there, if you're putting your Kyle Dubas hat on, Is there anyone in particular that you have circled? Like, when you look at, you know, centers, defensemen, taking Tavares out of it, even taking John Carlson out of it, is there anyone else out there that you've looked at or that has piqued your interest where you'd think, that's probably a guy the Leafs should at least kick tires on?
Depending on the price, I would say Jay Beagle. I'm a big fan. He's a hard player. He skates well. I think he scored 12 or 13 goals this year. Like, that would lock up your four hole, but you know, you can't pay him an exorbitant amount of money either. And maybe he'll get that. You know, maybe he'll be priced, you know, right out of the bin.
Right.
I don't know who the free agent defensemen are. I probably should be a little more up to date. I'll get on that next week, but like when I'm rolling in there for July 1st.
It's not that impressive, Ray.
Yeah, but I mean, you would think they would poke around, right? Like, is there a guy that you can add into your third pair, or, you know, an upgrade of some sort? Because, and the guys to look at are not the ones that are at the top, because you said to put the Dubas hat on. I'm thinking the guys that are more under the radar.
Right.
A guy like Nick Holden, for example, is would be an under the radar guy. He's a free agent in Boston. I don't know if he would be someone they'd even consider. He's left-handed. But he'd be a guy like that that you don't even really think about in your first thoughts, and then you know, his numbers will be good. You know, the possession numbers will be good. His, you know, the way he moves the puck will be good. He's a good skater. Like, those are the type of guys I think we might see the Leafs interested in anyway.
Yeah. Well, Game 7 down at Ricoh tonight, the Calder Cup. And Marlies are looking to win their first Calder Cup, I think, since the late 60s. And it's difficult to get a read on how many of these guys, forget being penciled into spots. Like, I think Janssen's basically a lock to make the team. I'd be surprised if he wasn't in the fold. and Dermott, considering what he had already achieved. I mean, he's in the running. But beyond that, it's very difficult to figure out which one of these guys, Grundstrom, Altonen.
Sparks is going to push for a job.
Sparks, yeah, exactly. Guys like Callie Rosen.
Grundstrom,
yeah. Grundstrom. Like, do you leave jobs open for them, or do you sign guys? And let's not forget, they still have Levo signed. They've got Matt Martin signed.
I personally think Dubas knows this team inside and out. He's going to leave some jobs at least available for a battle at training camp.
For you to win them.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
And don't forget, why wouldn't you take guys, the guys that are going to be battling for the spots, they're going to be more so in the bottom half of your lineup. Those are the guys that you can bring into camp to compete on PTOs or sign them to one-year deals at 900. It doesn't cost you on the cap if you have to send them down. Like, those might be the competitors for some of those jobs, and you might sniff at that, but there's a lot of good players that will be in that boat. Hell, you know, Devontae Smith-Pelly was signed on a two-way deal and turned into be a damn good playoff player for them. So I don't think you just leave the door wide open and that these kids are going to get to waltz into a job. I think there'll be a fight for it, but it might not be a high-profile one.
What do you make of the U.S. Open, the way Shinnecock is playing?
Well, what I notice is I always put myself in these guys' place, right? So, okay, I'm hitting this shot into the green, and it rolls 3 feet over the green and then rolls 35 yards away. That shot is one that I don't have. I would chip it to the top of the hill. It would come back to my feet six times before I finally just smash it up with a putter. Like, that stuff would make me more than anything, would make me nervous on that place. I'd be terrified.
Yeah. When there are pros like Scott Gregory shooting 92, 22 over par, it's playing tough.
Yeah, it's not
too
good.
Much.
It's
Did you just
tough.
See the guy? Did you just, I had it on mute, but somebody was in the bunker and they hit the flag stick halfway up out of the greenside bunker. They hit the flag stick. It came right back in the bunker. The guy standing there like, are you kidding me?
It's hard, man.
No.
And then you got Dustin Johnson, Bobby Big Wheel out there. He's just
crushing it.
Yeah, crushing the field.
Just cruising around.
Also, I don't know if you guys noticed, he hit one drive that was a little bit wayward. There was about 20 people looking for the ball.
Including Tiger Woods.
And somebody, I forget the announcer, somebody stepped on it.
It was a British guy.
And that's how they found it.
BBC guy.
He somehow got a drop out of that.
Yeah, because they couldn't confirm what his what the lie was and when the guy clomped on it. But just think, there's 20 guys standing over top of it. Nobody can see it.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah, good luck with that. It's only going to get uglier, too. They'll move the pins around, and it's going to be disgusting all weekend. I love it. I can't wait.
Oh, and those USGA guys love it. Oh, look at that. Our champions plus eight. Wasn't that great golf?
They live for this. They live for it. Yeah. They live for torturing pro players every year. Anyway, we'll see what happens. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you later.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.